The Lord has a word for you today, and I don't know what it is. It does not come from the mouth of the preacher. It comes from the mouth of the Holy Spirit. It comes through an instrument, but it is not the instruments to give. Every one of us has the opportunity to receive something this day, but you cannot receive something in a fist. You can only receive something in an open hand. You cannot receive something in a closed heart. You can only receive it if your heart is open. The purpose of the prayer that we pray now is to open our hearts for what it is the Lord has to give to us this day. So as we open our hearts, let's pray together the prayer to the Holy Spirit that's in the bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them.
Our Old Testament reading for this morning is found in the book of Isaiah 49. I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. Please, those using the Pew Bibles, turn to page 638. This passage is about God's salvation for all. Listen to me, O coastland. Pay attention to people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Surely, my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be guided to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Here ends our Old Testament reading for this morning. May the word of God always be our guide. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, who from the beginning of time saw us sitting here, who from the first flash of light billions of years ago saw this moment, whose love reaches around the world, even as the sun has come up across this world this day, and we in the midst of your people, after millions have worshiped you, this time and this hour has come, and we gather, as others will gather throughout the coming hours into the night. We confess, Lord, that your love has a very hard time getting outside the doors of our own minds, much less the doors of our houses. Even as, Lord, you prodigally shower your grace across the Middle East and people who gather to speak your name and to give you praises and to die doing so, through lethargy and depression, resentment, lust, frustration, the relentless focus on self, your voice is stilled in us. Create in me a new heart, O God. Restore a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And remind me, Lord, that joy is not a selfish emotion. It is not something that can be experienced entirely alone. And even joy experienced in your presence is a small joy compared to joy in your presence shared with others. Bless us, Lord, to find our way out once again of the dungeon of self. Bless us, Lord, to love. And in that love, Lord, we lift up our eyes and gaze upon the thousands who are driving by in a fog on 67, even as we sit here. The hundreds who live in the woods to our west. Those on the blue sheet who are around this metroplex and some of them around the world. Each one in a unique place of need in this day. Thank you, Lord, that you have enough bread to feed us all. Bless us, Lord, to so seek your face that we may be drawn together by your Spirit, that we may understand true fellowship with one another. Especially, Lord, we pray this day for Pam Gary, who is ordained to a new life that will not end until her last breath on this earth, as she becomes a priest, one who stands in the gap, the chasms between people, the chasm between people and you, the chasm that is opened up in this culture between your church and the people you love. Bless her, Lord, to reach across all of those divisions. Strengthen her in your love. Be with all of those, Lord, who are installed once again this day to the great calling that they have received. Thank you, Lord, for your church, broken as it is, human as it is, bounded as it is, blind as it is, deaf as it is, dumb as it is. That you have given us this day to shout from the rooftops what we hear whispered from you. You have given us this day that we might see you at work in one another. You have given us this day to hear your word, to embrace it in an open heart, and to find joy that is present to us in the fact that we are not alone here, and not simply not alone because you love us. Bless us, Lord, and strengthen us to be your people, that from this day forth, we together and individually may shout from the rooftops the truth of what you have given to us, and we may stand in bold and fearless love to live out the words we pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Good morning. Amen. My name is Pastor Rodney Roden. I'm one of the assistants with Reverend Allard here. And my topic today is it's a new season. We just crossed over from 2016 to 2017. And it is a new season. You know, many times we make New Year's resolutions as to the changes we're going to introduce into our lives. And about 90 days into the new year, I forget what I resolved to do. You know, so, however, this is a new season. And our scripture text is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'd like to read that from the NIV version of the Bible. And it reads, starting at chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture goes on to read, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. I'm going to read this again. The Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth again. He said, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, I want you to know today, in this new season, that God is faithful. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the next scripture I'm going to read. It's very important. Verse 10, and it reads, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Read this again. It's important. Here again, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. He's speaking to us today as well. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another. He's instructing us to agree with one another. And it goes on to say, and what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. Strongly suggest that there be no divisions among us, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. In other words, we must get along with each other, and we must learn to be considerate to one another, cultivating a life in common. The life in common that we are to cultivate is this life in Christ that we live. This is a life in common. There should be no divisions among us. We should respect one another. The Church of Corinth was an interesting church. On over into the verse of scripture, it talks about how the Apostle Paul received a word from the house of Chloe. And the word that he received from Chloe's house was that there had been some quarreling, there had been some dispute, there had been some arguing among the Christians of that particular church. And in this letter, he was addressing those disagreements that they were having. And those disagreements had caused division in the body of Christ. The scripture is telling us that we should not have division as Christians. We shouldn't have it. But unfortunately, we're living in a time where our entire system is made up of division. We have division all around us. We have division in religion. We have division in politics. We have division in race. We have division in socioeconomic status as well. There is division. Regardless of how we look at it, there is division. Well, since this being a new season, what are we going to do about this division? What are we going to do about this thing that keeps us separated? What are we going to do about this? The Apostle Paul was challenged with this same thing. It really isn't of God when division come in and separate the body. Differences of opinion. There is something that I've looked at, different sources of division, and how I personally deal with it. One is being spiritually stagnant. You know what stagnant water does? It does nothing but stink. That's all it does. It's good for nothing. But what about stagnant spirituality? You do nothing but stink. Nothing but stink. And your particular stank might come in the form of just being that of a talebearer. You know what a talebearer is? A talebearer is one who gossips. Come on, that can get a little stanky, can't it? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to put some sugar on this, but I'm afraid I can't. You know? Has something ever been said about you that hurt your feelings and it make you withdraw from others? Because that lie hurt you, it cut you to the quick. Are you hearing me? Am I the only one ever experienced that? Have anyone else ever experienced that? A word that hurt in the church, in the body of Christ. That ought not be. It ought not be. We take this word that was given thousands of years ago to the Church of Corinth. And we can apply this very word to us today. There should be no divisions among us. There should be no disputes, no quarreling among us. There should be no undermining among us. There are no big I's and little U's in Christ Jesus. Come on. We're talking about division. Is there a black heaven? Is there a white heaven? Let's talk about division. Let's look at it from a realistic perspective. Come on. I don't think so. I believe our job here is to get it right here before we get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a north heaven and a south heaven? I'm going to live in north heaven. They got better houses in north heaven than they do in south heaven. I want a gated community. I want my streets of gold in a gated community in heaven. Division. It's all right to want that. We all want streets of gold. But we ought to live together. And I look at this as being nothing more than a rehearsal. This is the rehearsal. Have you ever extended your hand to someone to show yourself friendly? The word says you have to show yourself friendly in order to have a friend. And the person you extend your hand to just keep walking. Division. That ought not be in the body of Christ. It ought not be. Don't you know God is watching us? One thing to always remember, we're always under surveillance. If it's not our other brothers and sisters seeing us out and about, the Lord always sees us. Everything we do, everything we say, he know our motives, he know our heart, he know everything about us. I say again, this is nothing more than a rehearsal. Spiritual stagnation and spiritual depression. Spiritual stagnation is a problem that will bombard everyone at one point or another. When you become spiritual stagnant, you'll become depressed. Fears and anxieties will gush out of you, and you'll begin to feel separated from God. You ever felt separated from God and from his grace? You'll begin to feel alone. You'll feel sinful. You'll feel dirty, and you'll feel unloved. You'll also feel unloving, like you're unworthy to be loved. If you suffer from this, you withdraw yourself from God's grace and his mercy and his tender loving kindness. You just separate yourself. And once we separate, that gives the enemy an opportunity to come in and do us any kind of way he wants us. We need to be vigilant with one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to love one another. So one thing about this place here, we have a very, very diverse group of people. And I count it an honor and a privilege to be here among you. I believe we're doing what God has called us to do. We need to coexist with one another. That we do. It's easy to divide and separate. But I believe one day when we all get to heaven, we're going to walk together. But I believe we're doing what's required of us right here on this earth right now. And it is an ongoing work. It is an ongoing work. And I think those who started out just kind of pretending that it was all right, I believe in your heart as you continue to pretend, it get real. It get real. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer pretending. You truly love. You truly care. The facade is gone. You can truly embrace. You know, one of the amazing things I seen was during our election. You know, it's all right to have a political affiliation. But is it all right for that political affiliation to turn a brother and sister in Christ against one another? If I never stand here again, I'm going to send this one home. That ought not be. You trust more in a man than you do God. But yet you pay your tithes and offerings to the church. You believe God to a certain point. But that 10% where you don't believe, you put it in the hands of a man. Then you argue about your choice to be in office. It's all right to be excited about the presidential race. But should I come to blows, or should I curse you out because you don't think like I think? These are the very divisions that were being spoke of in this Bible, in this word that was happening in the church of Corinth. You know what they were arguing and disputing about?
They were debating because one said, I'm under Apollos, I'm under Gaius, I'm under Paul. And what they did, they basically divided Christ up. Is Jesus divided? I should say not. But that was the source of the division, the source of the debate. Who they were underneath. In other words, one was saying, well, I'm a United Methodist, I'm this, and I'm a Baptist, and I'm Pentecostal, and I'm this, and come on. They actually missed what it's truly all about. Well, what is it truly about, brother preacher? It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not about who you studied under. It's about what you believe. Do you believe that God gave his only begotten son for us so that we would not perish but have everlasting life? Yes, I'm a little redundant with that one because sometimes we miss it. We don't get it. How blessed we truly are. In the book of, this is extra. This is not written. This is a little extra, and I got to put this one out here because it need to be put out here. In the book of Psalms 118 and 8, interesting and redundant scriptures. When scriptures repeat, that means you should pay special attention to these scriptures. The scripture in 118 and 8 says, in the book of Psalms, it says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in a man. Verse 9 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I can take that and I can just apply that to my life and stand on it. Because it's better to trust in God than to trust in man. Don't you know a man will let you down? A man will disappoint you, cause division. Satan. Don't you know Satan had a lofty position in heaven. Some even say that Satan was the music director in heaven. He would sing praise unto God. Come on. He was right there, one of the head archangels, according to the word. Despite his high rank in God's presence, at some point he turned against the Lord, and all of this was done in and of pride. Satan got prideful. And this is what he did. He said, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. He's going to set his throne above the stars of God. He says, I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the earth, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. There was division in heaven. In heaven. He got cast out too, according to the word. But there was division. Don't you know a house divided cannot stand? A kingdom divided cannot stand. A church divided cannot stand either. It won't stand. It will not stand. So my question to you today is, are you the source of the division? If you are, repent and ask the Lord to try you again because it's between you and God. I didn't ask for that. I didn't write that either. Yeah. But that's okay. But Satan was ousted from heaven. So Satan serves his own agenda now. But the bottom line is he wanted to be like God. That was his purpose. And it caused division in heaven. Also in the Garden of Eden, Adam was told not to partake of the fruit. But he did. And when he did it, he went and he wove him some leaves together and made him a covering. And he heard God walking through the garden and he hid him and her. And God asked him, Adam, why are you hiding? You ain't been hiding. You know, we still have that hide nature. And God yet see us, just like he saw Adam, he yet see us even though we're hiding. Adam, why are you hiding? I could just see him there, stuttering. He couldn't get, bless his heart. I can see Eve when she brought the fruit. I'm not gonna say apple. It could have been a pomegranate, okay? But I can see Eve when she brought the fruit, and after she was convinced by the serpent to eat it, and she had crossed the line, and the juices was just running from the fruit as she bit into it, and it looked so appetizing to Adam, and he knew better, but yet he, boy, that sure looked good. Isn't it something how something we're told not to do, we still want to do it? Especially when we're younger. But anyway, he went ahead and he partook of the fruit, and when God charged him up, he first thing out of his mouth was, if it hadn't have been for that woman you gave me, that woman. It was that woman you gave me, God. If you hadn't have gave me that woman, I never would have did this. But he initiated the division that was needed to have them kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Interesting, isn't it? It didn't stand. The garden didn't stand. I say again, a divided house or a divided kingdom cannot stand. Some principles just hold true. Yeah, if it go up, it's coming down. If it's divided, it won't stand. It will not stand. Do we want this to stand? Come on now, come on. I understand, but it's okay to say this to me. Do we want this church to stand? Amen. Amen. This is a new season. Things are changing. I'm a little older than I was yesterday. Come on. And I'm sure some of you are as well. That makes it a new day. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. So what are we going to do different today than we did yesterday? What are we going to do different today than we did last year? What are we going to do different? If we don't address this, we're going to go into this year doing the same old thing. Have you shown yourself friendly to anyone? Have you passed the peace? Have you passed the peace? Or when the peace is being passed, you go sit down somewhere. Come on. You isolate, you divide. Isn't it something we can be in a crowd and yet be lonely? In the midst of a crowd, we're yet lonely. Is that you? It can change today. It can change today. I have to be lonely in the midst of a crowd. God created the whole body. He created the body of Christ. He created this body. Scripture tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, around verse 15, it says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of the body. If we are the body of Christ, there are many parts of us. Each one of us have a function. Are you functioning like you should function in the body of Christ? Got five fingers here. In order for me to pick up something, it was designed for all five of them to work together. The thumb, all four, we should work together. That makes the whole. It's working properly. God have designed each and every one of us in the body of Christ to work together. Scripture goes on to say, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. Here's another scripture. It said, God did this so that there should be no division in the body. We're going to drive this one home. There should be no division in the body. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. It says if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If I hurt my knee, what are my hands going to do? I mean, it's like one part is concerned about the other. You ever seen a guy pick up his foot and hop around on one foot because that foot hurt? Yeah. That's the way we should be toward one another. If one of us is sick, if one of us is ill, if one of us is hospitalized, if one of us is going through, if one of us is just depressed, if one of us is suffering, we should go to the rescue. We should go and see that other person. We should go and comfort that other part. Just like the scripture says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We have some honorees today. We have honorees today. And it's our position and our task to be honored, honor our honorees today as well. That's the way it's done. We are the hands and the feet of the Lord. And remember, we're always one at the cross. We are his hands and feet. And we are one at the cross. There is no division in this we're doing here. If you ever had that impression, it was the wrong impression. This is a joint venture. That it is. Truly a joint venture. Read a poem by Cindy Wyatt. It was some poem about seasons. It was taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 1, where it talks about everything, for everything there is a season, and there's a time and purpose under heaven. And the poem reads, to everything in life, there is a season. This is a new season we're embarking upon, with every phrase and purpose and reason. And when one season ends, a new one will begin, gaining wisdom from where we have been. A season to press forward to what lies ahead, leaving the past behind and by Jesus being led. A season to labor in the harvest field, and a time to rest while it comes in the yield. A season to weep and a time to rejoice. A time to be silent and a time to lift up our voice. A time to meditate on God's love and his word. A time to tell the gospel to others as you have heard. A season to be healthy, robust, and strong, a time of weariness and pain, and from heaven long, a season to abound and a time to suffer need, all the while plowing to sow the gospel seed, a season to be active and a time to be still, all things according to God's perfect time and his perfect will, a season to be born and a time to die, when we fly away and go to our home on high. Yes, remember, God is faithful, who has called you and me into fellowship with his Son for such a time as this. He's called us into fellowship. So as I prepare to close, let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for all you have done for us this year. And Father, we ask that you empower us to continue and prevail in prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, rekindle your precious, holy, and purifying fire within us, O God. The Spirit of God, draw us into a new and intimate relationship from now on, Lord. Father God, revive us, Lord. Father, for we need revival in every areas of our life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Teach us how to reach your heart on a daily basis, Lord, and receive from you all the blessings that you have in store for us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. May we receive the power, God, to move forward and not be stagnant or not stuck, oh God, in every area of our lives, Lord. And Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we shall live to fulfill our God-given destiny, Lord. Father, you've given each and every one of us a destiny, Lord. May we embrace it, Lord, and walk it out, Lord. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that there be no division. Deliver us from division, O God, in the name of Jesus, and set us free from the bondage of failure and sickness and poverty and untimely death. Lord, Lord, we ask that we be set free from that, O God, from lack and failure. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right here in this place, Lord. Father, we thank you, O God, that you are spot on in our lives, Lord. You love us. You care for us, Lord, and for that we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.